Oh my God, weekend's over already. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike and Spike and Fritz, here we are on a beautiful spring Monday. Ike, how you feeling, brother?
Hey, man.
What?
Get Hugh Douglas out of here,
oh,
man.
Oh, dude, we can't get him out of here.
Seriously.
Yeah. Guy's doing a show during the commercial break right here.
Brother Spike?
Yes.
It's been a good weekend. We're back to Monday. Short weekend. I tell you, it was over with pretty fast. Ready to dive in to the newest members of the Midnight Green family. Phillies managed to win a series out there in the Windy City. Jackie Baseball, don't rush it, but we're almost back. We're almost back. Holla at your boy.
We sure are, pal. That was a big weekend. I treated yesterday damn near like a playoff game.
Yeah. It's been a real roller coaster for you this season with the Phils. Real roller coaster. Big show, as always. Mike Mayock joins us at 4 o'clock to go over the draft, our draft expert. We sent Elliot Shore Parks to Washington, D.C. as the Eagles are visiting the White House, so we have our own embedded reporter in D.C.
Most of the Eagles are visiting the White House.
Yes, some of the Eagles are visiting the White House. But Elliot is for sure there.
He's there.
He's there reporting. So we'll have Elliot joining us at 3. Oh, boy, it is a big show. Now, you mentioned we have a bunch of new members, or at least the temporary members of the Philadelphia Eagles, as the Eagles took 10 players over the weekend. You know, walking away from it, we talked a little bit on YouTube, on our YouTube show on Friday about Jahai Campbell. Walking away from it, Ike, what was like your big takeaway from the Eagles draft this year?
Well, here's the thing I love that they did. They stayed heavy on the defensive side of the ball. Listen, they added some offensive depth with some guys late in the draft, backup quarterback, offensive lineman, fine with that. But it seemed like, you know, we thought the defensive side of the ball, the number one ranked defense this past year to the defending Super Bowl champions, was hit pretty hard when you talk about the amount of talent that left. And so they have to replace that. And you're not going to hit on every player that you may have in there initially to replace that talent that left. So you got to give yourself more of an opportunity with more guys to potentially fill those roles, and so you have a higher success rate in selecting those replacements. And that's what they did. They went for some young guys that are more cost-effective. I like what they did. Obviously, you pick up Campbell late in the first round. We know about the talent prior to he falls for whatever reasons, whether it's injuries, whether he's a tweener, meaning people don't know where to necessarily fit him at as an off-the-ball linebacker or an outside rusher. I think the Eagles envision what they want to do with him, so they couldn't pass up on the talent. Mabuku, out of Texas, the second-round pick. The safety. I'm not going to tell you I don't like the pick. I'll tell you that I'm still learning about the player. I've seen him, right? Plays at Texas. We know he played at a prominent program. They were in the playoffs. I think they were in the Final Four. They were in the Final Four.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm really just talking out loud.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know they had a very good football team. He certainly plays bigger than what his measurables say. It'd be interesting to see how much of that translates to the NFL. Is he a slot guy? Is he truly a safety? Some people think, you know, CJGJ wasn't that big, so he kind of fits that sort of mold. I do see a lot of similarities there.
Is it ball hawk like CJGJ is, seems like? Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to tell you I don't like the pick. I'll just tell you that I'm intrigued by the pick. One pick I do think that was very underrated that I think we're going to wind up liking is the kid out of Nebraska.
Ty Robinson.
Robinson, yeah.
Yes.
This kid.
Defensive tackle, 24 years old.
Yeah.
From an athletic standpoint, seems like he's a great athlete.
That's what I was going to say. His athletic ability seems to be off the chart for a man that size. Put him next to Jalen Carter, Moro Jomo, like those type of guys. We'll see what he's going to be moving forward. And he's actually playing a position where he could come in and contribute in his rookie year, being a rotational guy. So we'll get into some of the other guys. I feel like they added some young depth right? We'll see what these guys ultimately turn out to be, but I think they've added some young depth. And here's the best thing I love about it. Most of these guys are from big programs, big-time programs. SEC, Big Ten, big conferences, played against great competition, whether it was in practice every day or in conference play every week. So I like that part about adding that to the roster.
215-592-9494. What was your biggest takeaway from the Eagles' picks this weekend? I don't profess to be, of course, some draft expert.
Mel Kiper?
I'm definitely not Mel Kiper. We'll get to that later, too. I'm definitely not Mel Kiper. And I don't even really watch college football. But from an Eagles perspective, the entire draft was just like, my biggest takeaway is that it was weird. I thought the whole draft was weird. I thought them using their first pick for an off-ball linebacker was a little weird. Definitely not what the Eagles do. The fact that they didn't take one player that they had a top 30 meeting with, not one, in the entire draft.
That is.
It's weird.
That one is a little weird.
It's just weird, right? Yeah. They don't take an edge until the very last pick they have in the draft, and you could argue that that was maybe their biggest need going into the draft. I mean, we're talking about defensive secondary and edge, and look, you can say Jahad Campbell is an edge. He's not an edge until he's an edge. He's an off-ball linebacker right now. They take a 5'10 cornerback. You know, before an edge in the fourth round, before Swinson went. Yeah. This whole offseason has been weird to me. The way they've been talking about it has been weird to me. And the draft was weird to me. So I'm not here to say it was a bad draft. I don't know if it was a bad draft. It's almost impossible. They got A's from everybody, A's and B's from everybody. It's impossible to say whether it was a good draft or a bad draft until we see, you know, if they play, especially somebody like me who's not an expert on any of these players. I can just tell you that from what I've seen from the Eagles in the past compared to what they did here, it all just seems a little bit weird to me. It seems a little bit out of character, and it's strange. Now, paying a linebacker was out of character. Paying a running back was out of character. All these things that the Eagles did that was out of character seemed to work out last year,
sure,
right? But this draft seemed a little bit weird to me. All right, 215-592-9494. But we do have a next question today. By the way, I also want to say, I love the quarterback pick. I like that they take Kyle McCord.
One of your YouTube big board.
The guy is, you can trade Tanner McKean now because we have our backup quarterback for the next four or five years.
20 draft picks next year, so I don't know if we need that.
Well, to trade him for, I don't know, you're going to need to trade him for something at some point. But the fact that it took Kyle McCord, I was very happy with. It is Jay Leno's birthday. And before Jay Leno was a late night host, he was a stand up comedian, a really good stand up comedian, by the way.
Yeah.
And so for next question today, we're going to ask you your go-to stand-up, all-time stand-up. Jack, do you have an all-time stand-up?
I do have an all-time stand-up, but...
All-time.
But...
What?
I think this guy's going to eventually be on the Mount Rushmore of comedians.
Oh, really?
And that's Shane Gillis.
Oh, he's not going to be on the Mount
Rushmore. I don't care. He's my favorite comedian of all time.
Of all time?
Yeah, it's not even close.
I was going to say, what Mount Rushmore is he on?
Yeah.
Jack's Mount Rushmore.
I've seen him... seen him twice, and then I saw him do Saturday Night Live, and it was the same act over 2 years, three times. I'm a little worried about him.
Shane Gillis.
You'd recognize him.
Shane Gillis?
He's from Richie's hometown. Yeah. Richie's hometown.
Yeah, mechanics.
Shame? Like Seamus?
I feel like we're in that Step Brothers scene right now. Shane.
Pim?
Yeah, Pim. Pim? Shane Gillis.
Like Shane, S-H-A-N.
Yes, like Shane McMahon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Shane Gillis. So Jax is Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
Gillis.
Not Shane McGillis.
No, not McGillis. Just okay. Gillis. Yes.
Nailing it.
Yes.
I'm out on
him. Wow. You don't know who
it is? I have no idea who it is.
Okay. All right.
I have no idea. I'm going Bernie Mac.
All time?
Yeah.
Number one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he's a goat.
He's probably not the most mainstream or popular guy. You can go with some other guys.
He's legendary
as far
for
as
sure.
Me, yes. My guy?
Yes.
Number one, Bernie Mac, baby.
My number one all time was Norm MacDonald, and I love Norm. Norm may be most famous for the Saturday Night Live Weekend Update.
Oh yeah, okay. OJ.
Dirty Work, of course. But Norm MacDonald is a stand-up.
What you got fired for?
I was What's that?
He got fired for all the OJ stuff.
He did. He did. Yeah. And then they brought him back to host, like they did with Shane Gillis, by the way. Fired him. And then I got to see Norm Macdonald once at Helium. He ended his set with a 20-minute joke with no punchline. Everybody was just staring. And I was dying laughing the entire time.
I never got, as a kid, right, growing up, people would tell me about Norm Macdonald. Like, hilarious, hilarious, hilarious.
The best.
Didn't get it.
Oh, right.
Now, as you get older, you understand Norm Macdonald.
Yes, of course. He did a final special that I think is on Netflix, but he passed away a couple years ago. But he did a final special during COVID at home in front of his computer. So the entire 70-minute special is just him talking to the screen with no audience, no anything, and it's an amazing thing. So me, Norm Macdonald. All right, 215-592-9494. Your one takeaway from the Eagles draft. Ike likes the defense. I think it's all weird. Tom in Wildwood, you're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. It's an honor. Yeah, I heard Hertz isn't going to the White House. And, I'm a big Trump guy, but, like, I'm totally cool with him not going. Like, he's totally free to do that. And, honestly, I like what Barkley said. Just, like, you know, just keep it traditional. And, like, he went golfing with Obama, and then, like, everyone's freaking out because he golfed with Trump. And it's just, like, it's the president, you know? But, you know, he's totally cool. He's still my QB1. I love Hurts. It's just he's free to do it, and that's what makes America so great.
There you go, man. It's America, right? He can do what he wants to do. So there you go. What'd you think of the draft?
Oh, I loved it. I loved that defensive tackle from Nebraska. My buddy's a Cornhuskers fan, and he said that guy is like, Ike said, freak of nature. And I don't know. I would have liked to take Shador over the QB we got. Personally, but
Kyle Allard is it Allard or Howard? Who's our quarterback that we got? Kyle McCord?
McCord.
Allard, what did
McCord.
I say? Kyle Allard.
You think of Drew Allard?
Drew Allard?
Yeah, Kyle McCord.
Another ass quarterback.
Yeah.
Nah, but I thought it was a good draft. I don't know. They probably really trust Jalik Hunt. That's the only reason I can think of.
For not drafting an edge? Yeah, well, that's a lot of trust for a guy that went to the Houston Christian. You know, and I thought he was good last year, but man, that's a like.
I'm gonna tell you what.
Yeah.
The Eagles have put they put their draft philosophy to the test this year.
They really did. They really did. There's a lot of faith in Nolan Smith and Jalik Hunt. Yeah. So he mentioned Shador Sanders.
Yes.
So let's talk about that for a second. So. Mm-hmm. So the Eagles are sitting there. It's the fifth round, and there's at this point, Ian Rappaport has started talking about the fact that there's rumors that the Eagles may take Shador Sanders, you know, quarterback factory. Here's what he said, actually.
Rich, there have been rumors all day that the Philadelphia Eagles were interested in Shador Sanders, would be a perfect landing spot for him, a veteran quarterback room, a team with a really good backbone, really good culture. Well, the Cleveland Browns just traded over the Eagles. I wonder, obviously they have Dylan Gabriel yesterday. Did the Browns do this thinking the Eagles would take Shador and just maybe? We'll see.
Wow.
Well, I can tell you we'd have a much different show today if they had. So let me ask you this, Ike. Browns don't trade up, let's say. Let's say Shador Sanders slips to the Eagles in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Two questions. One, do you think the Eagles would have took him? Two, do you think they should have took him in that situation? Should have taken him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I'm going to believe the reports that are out there, I do believe the Eagles certainly were interested. I don't know why those reports would be out there.
Sure.
If they weren't.
Would you have wanted them to do it?
No. So that's I'm giving you a two-part answer there.
Okay.
Yes, I believe the Eagles may have had some interest in drafting Shador Sanders. No, I'm happy they didn't. I'm happy that they did not draft him. I'm happy that the Cleveland Browns jumped in front of the Eagles to draft Shador Sanders. And there's several reasons why I would say I'm happy about that. Let's start with I don't need the headache of talking about Shador being here and potentially overtaking Jalen Hurts as a starting quarterback. So I'll just say, I don't need that headache.
Did you just wink at the camera?
Yeah. No, I didn't wink at the camera. I'm being honest. Let me take my glasses off so I can let them see me.
I would have strangled me by 242.
Yes, I don't want to have to deal with that. I didn't want to have to deal with that nonsense. on a regular for the next several years. And B, I just think it's more than what it's worth. The hassle and the distraction is more than what it's worth to us. I'm happy Shador landed where he landed in Cleveland. I think he has a legitimate chance to win that starting job out there in Cleveland. When you look at that quarterback room, he was not going to win the starting job here, nor should he be a starting quarterback here. And with his persona and everything that comes with him, again, it would be – we're not going to ask questions about Kyle Allard or whatever. What is his name?
Kyle McCord.
Whatever his name is. Yeah, I'm sorry. Local kid. Went to St. Joe's.
It's all right, though. He grew up a Jets fan.
Listen. And he's from South Jersey. Listen.
Did he?
Despite all the talk about local kids in this area, Philly, shout out to Philly. No disrespect. I'm just saying.
St. Joe's prep kids.
South Jersey is holding it down.
A little bit.
These are South Jersey kids that went to prep.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
At least you got Tyler Phillips out of here.
South Jersey holding it down. I don't need the headache. We don't get the headache with this kid that we would get if Shador Sanders was here. So I'm happy he's not here. I believe the Eagles did have the interest because they think they are a quarterback factory and they can overcome everything.
Yes.
I'm just saying. I'm glad Cleveland jumped in front of us. Because Shador was never going to play here.
Look, and I know people will take this from me the way that they're going to take it. Of course I would want them to take Shador Sanders. Because if your whole thing is going to be value, if we're going to look and say that the reason that they took Jahad Campbell is even though we don't take linebackers in the first round and blah, 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 but you've got a top 10 grade on him, and that's why we took him, because we didn't think he would be there. Well, Shador Sanders is I didn't think he would be there for the, like, of all time, the number one.
Yeah.
You know, and look, if there is one place with a sturdy culture where you can maybe rebuild his value, maybe he ends up being the backup quarterback here and you flip him in the offseason for something else, even if you never think he's going to be the starting quarterback here. I would hope, who knows? You talk about the circus. Who knows if there's been any humbling based on what that happened? Who knows if he comes into camp realizing that maybe the way he played it beforehand isn't the way he plays it moving forward? Maybe they rehabilitate his image. You know, he certainly played well enough in college football to be a top second round pick. He should have been a higher draft pick. I just think from a value perspective, and I know people are going to think that this is the anti-Jalen thing. It's not an anti-Jalen thing. It's like, from a value perspective, it's a rare opportunity to get somebody at that point. You know, you're really just filling out lottery pickets, lottery tickets.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to believe they were truly interested, then that's probably what they saw.
Yeah. Look, the last time we drafted a quarterback when it made everybody crazy, we ended up winning a Super Bowl with that guy. So I'm not saying that, and I know it was a hassle, and I know we go back and it was crazy, but it ended up working out, right?
And you have a
quarterback who 3 months ago we were talking about maybe was the top pick in the NFL draft is sitting there in the fifth round. Like, I think it's, you do it. We're never going to know what would have happened. We'll never get a straight answer out of anybody from the Eagles, whether it would have happened or not. But I think if he was sitting there, I would have taken him. Jack, what would you have done?
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
it's all about value.
Yeah.
Now, I totally understand it from, like, I would not take him in the second, third, maybe even the fourth, but it's the fifth round. I mean, seriously, who would ever?
You thought they were going to take him in the fourth.
But I would have done it. I mean, I maybe would have done it. It's not, again, it's not anti-Jalen at all. Would never. But it's just, at some point, he was viewed, like you said, as a first-round pick, no doubt about it. You rehabilitate the image. Maybe he gets humbled being in a strong quarterback room like the Eagles have with a strong culture.
Yeah.
And you get the best version out of him. And the reality is, I mean, Jalen has been banged up, you know? So, like, he has had to miss time. God forbid he went down for an extended period of time. Tanner McKee is fine. You know, Kyle McCord stinks.
Kyle McCord does not stink.
He wears Mark Sanchez's number because he grew up a Jets fan. What's that tell you?
He was the probably the second best quarterback in the draft, Kyle McCord.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, he's probably the second best quarterback in the draft. Yeah.
But I think it would have been a no-brainer.
All right.
No-brainer.
215-592-9494. Big takeaways from the draft. Ziggy in the Lehigh Valley. You're on WIP. What's up, Ziggy? Ziggy.
Come on, Zig.
Ziggy Stardust. All right, let's go to Mike in South Jersey. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, Spike, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, I kind of agree with you, where, like, it was a weird draft. I don't dislike it by any means.
it wasn't what I expected. Like, we all came into that saying they have, what, 20 picks the next 2 years?
Yep.
And, you know, they're going to move some, and they take 10 guys. So I don't dislike it. I think they're trying to hit on what they've been doing. They've been, I think they're valuing quantity over quality. And I think that they trust their scouting more so. I mean, they trust their coaches between the defensive side of the ball, having Fangio and these good positional coaches, and then Stoutland. Like, 9 out of the 10 guys will be under them, besides McCord, you know, the steal of the draft, if you ask you and Elliot.
Yes, sir.
But overall, I'm satisfied. I think they chose a lot of guys early who they think have a chance to start or at least make a big impact day one. And then, like, later on, they tried to find those gems. Like, the last two picks they made have some of the highest upside. So I don't think it was a bad draft. I thought it was interesting. The part that I found probably most weird was we still don't really have an answer surrounding Dallas Goedert.
Yeah. And Mike, next question. Give us your favorite stand-up comedian, Jay Leno's birthday.
I'm not huge on stand-up. I'll just go with a classic and say Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle's a great one.
Oh, there you go. Classy.
The Dallas Goedert thing, I told Elliot when he first said that they were going to trade him for a draft pick. Nobody's going to give you a draft pick for Dallas Goedert.
Nope.
Rube said it on Thursday. The guy is a good player, obviously, but he is injured a lot. He's due $14 million. There's no way he can get that on the, like, if they cut him right now. So if you're another team, what are you trading a draft pick for? I still think he makes the most sense on the Eagles as opposed to any other team. Go back to him and say there's no money out there. Will you he's making 14. Will you take 9? Will you take 8? And have him on the Eagles this year. I just think it makes the most sense for him and makes the most sense for the Eagles. The Eagles didn't draft the guy either.
Yeah, something tells me, you say 8 or 9, something tells me that's much higher than what they want to give him.
They want to give him 5.
Or 4.
Or 4, right.
Because 8 or 9, he probably says, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Something tells me the Eagles wants to give him somewhere around 3 or 4.
It's just they don't have an answer
certainly
there
no
either.
More than 5.
You know, they don't have any. They've Grant Calcaterra, you know.
I agree with you. I totally agree. And I think Dallas, he's in. He knows that either the Eagles are going to have to come to him with a good number or they're just going to release him. And from his viewpoint, well, if you're asking me to play for 5 or less, then I'll just cut me.
And I'll go get 5 somewhere else.
I can go out and get 5 or more somewhere else, maybe with incentives or what have you, based on catches, number of games played. Like, he may be able to get a 1-year deal with somebody in the right situation where he can get a bigger deal next year. So he's like, well, go ahead and cut me if you're going to cut me.
Yeah, the trade part of it was always weird to me, though, mm-hmm. for a draft pick. A guy his age who's injured as much as he is, making as much money as he is.
Yeah.
It never felt realistic to me that they were going to get
that
a draft pick
for him.
You were
going to get anything of value anyway.
No.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense to me. All right, 215-592-9494. What was your biggest takeaway from the draft, and would you have taken Shedeur Sanders if you were the Eagles sitting there? Coming up at 3, Elliott Shore Park's embedded in Washington, D.C.
What's going on down in D.C.?
Yeah,
he made a trip. The Eagles are, it looks like they're about to arrive at the White House.
Oh, and where do you see
so
Elliott?
Do we have...
See tiny little Elliott anywhere?
I'm asking a legitimate question. Is this live coverage? Like, is this, I don't know.
I don't...
Is this a big
deal? I think
deal?
It's on TV, yeah.
Is it? Like, yeah.
Dodgers? I don't think the Dodgers were on TV when they visited. I don't think so.
Sure, well, C-SPAN's probably
baseball.
Putting
this
it on.
Is, this is the Eagles. This is football.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if it's live, are we allowed to put it on the radio?
They brought the Dodgers there during the damn in November and December.
Oh, right.
Even knows.
Right.
They were there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's my point exactly.
All right. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can.
What do you think?
I don't want to ruin it.
You think Baby Fritz has any idea who's singing?
He does.
Well, because he saw the name?
Well, he had to pull it up.
Right.
Marvin Gaye?
No, you're lying. You don't think it's Marvin Gaye.
No, I know it's not Marvin Gaye.
Well, who is it?
I don't know.
I thought you pulled it up. What do you mean?
I did, but I just typed in Easy Like Sunday Morning.
Oh, you don't know who sings it, though? Commodores.
Oh.
Who's the lead singer of the Commodores?
Come on.
Seal.
I mean, Hit you with a damn flipper.
Seal.
No, I don't know. Is that why Hugh always says the Commodores?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's where he gets it from.
Never a doubt.
It's Lionel Richie.
Well, wait, what does Hugh say?
Well, it says the Commanders.
Oh,
the
Commodores. Yes. Yeah.
That's right. Lionel Richie?
Yes.
Ah,
nice. You know Lionel Richie.
Of
dancing on the ceiling.
Of course I know Lionel Richie. Oh. You kidding me?
Dancing on the ceiling. How about
Hello,
American Idol?
American Idol.
Yeah, he's in the later
season.
He's
a judge on American Idol.
Oh, no, not when I watched.
Well, of course I know. Yeah. I'm talking about him.
Oh, wow. Right.
No, this is actually sad. You want to know the first time I ever heard of Lionel Richie? Is that stupid show with his daughter and Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
Paris
and Nicole.
Paris and Nicole.
Oh, yeah. Right. I forgot about Nicole Richie.
Yes.
Awful.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. What would your reaction have been if the Eagles had drafted Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round?
No!
The two options, happy and understanding or upset. Where do you think it is, Ike? Where do you think the poll
upset.
Is?
Upset.
And what do you think the number's at?
65 upset.
He's back. 63 upset.
Nailed it.
How many do you think, of the people that are saying that they were upset now, how many of them would have talked themselves into it by the time the show was on the air
100%.
Monday at 2 o'clock?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
You think it would have made them mad?
Well, I mean, here's my thing. I think people would have felt like it's an unnecessary distraction to the starting quarterback. That's what I believe people's initial reaction would be when we are comfortable with who's going to be the starting quarterback moving forward. The last thing we want is quarterback controversies or what have you. So I would think coming off the Super Bowl, taking a guy like Shedeur Sanders, I'm not saying people would have been outraged over it. I just don't think people would have saw it as a good thing. They would have saw it more as a distraction to the starting quarterback than anything else.
It certainly would have taken a generally quiet Super Bowl offseason.
Right. They would have been right, by the way.
You think it would have been too much of a distraction?
Yes.
Do you think Jalen would have been distracted by it? Because I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think so. But, winning the Super Bowl helps. So you almost get that. You get a sense of, I'm good, security.
Yep.
Versus Wentz, who, quote unquote, wasn't a starting quarterback when they won the Super Bowl. So the fan base is already split on whether it should be you or somebody else. Then you bring in a cooler young quarterback that the locker room likes. Like that, it's a different atmosphere. So I don't know how many people this locker room is already. I believe the majority of 100% Jalen's locker room. I don't know how many people would have been in favor of this being a distraction to the team.
And then, so you as putting your former player hat on for a second, so you see what happens to Shedeur, you hear all the stories about him. If you're a player on the Eagles and they draft Shedeur Sanders, like what goes through, like is it just curiosity? What goes through your mind about the kid if they had drafted him?
Well, I think the league, from a player standpoint, was rooting for Shedeur, the majority of them. Listen, I'm not going to tell you his personality, the confidence, the cockiness, Sanders, all that may not have rubbed some people the wrong way. And I could totally understand why it would have. But I think the majority of players would be rooting for him. Problem is, you're coming to a team where they can't root for you to be successful.
Right.
We already have a starting quarterback.
Right.
So that's why I said going to Cleveland is a good position for him. You don't have an incumbent starter there. You don't have this big name there to where it seems like it's an uphill battle and he's never going to get a chance to play. Falling to Cleveland, which would have been good for him in the second round, with one of the two second-round picks they had, the third round before they took Dylan Gabriel.
It does make you wonder how much they actually wanted. They certainly had chances to take him. He was there. Yeah.
So I think people feel good about that situation. But being here, it's almost like you come here and you're stuck behind the Super Bowl MVP. Like, you're in the league, but you're not really getting a chance to play.
I actually think on some level what happened to him might be good publicly? Because I think it has changed. I think there were a lot of people that were not rooting against him, but weren't necessarily rooting for him beforehand, right?
Yeah. Because, all those people that were rooting against him. Yeah. You can bet on that.
There were some.
Yes, of course there were.
But I think...
Seen him on Twitter.
I think what has happened to him now may put more people on the side of rooting for him, because he became a sympathetic figure over the weekend, which there was none of that before. So I think at this point, I think fans might be rooting for him in a different way. I think players might be rooting for him in a different way. And depending on how he handles this, I don't know. I think he has an opportunity now to sort of like reintroduce what people think of him because of what happened to him over the weekend.
Yeah, I got to – maybe my view is a little different on this, Spike, than some other people's. I'm tired of the pity party with Shedeur Sanders. Like, enough is enough. It's like the pity party with Bronny. Like, shut up. Like, enough is enough. Shedeur is going to be fine, right? He's drafted now. Now he gets to prove how good he is. Like a lot of people have to do.
Right.
I came in the league, had to prove who I was.
Well, and all he has to do now is beat out Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel,
you feel me?
Really.
Yeah. Well, my point is that whether you're a first-round pick or you're a seventh-round pick, you're in the NFL. Prove what you are. Forget about the talking, cameras, dad, persona, chains, collar, all that nonsense. You're in the league now. You earn your stripes in this league. And there have been plenty of guys that have been drafted late that went on to become starters and earn their spot in this league. I think of Kirk Cousins, who got drafted in the fourth round. After RG3 got drafted number 2 overall, I would say Kirk Cousins had a better career than RG3. So, like, if you're good, you're good. I don't need to have a pity party for Shedeur Sanders, who grew up with Deion Sanders as his dad, who got every opportunity to play dad ball, dad coaches you, you get to be the quarterback, you get to make mistakes and still stay in there as a starter, like, because dad is the coach. So there are plenty of other guys that have worked their ass off that don't get a shot in the league or have to come in here just in a tough spot the same way he is and earn their keep. Like, we on that, the one thing, I'm happy he got drafted. But the pity party for Shedeur Sanders that's been going, Mel Kiper ought to be embarrassed with that nonsense he pulled Friday and Saturday because he had Shedeur as his number one pick. By the way, you don't give a damn about Shedeur Sanders. It's all about you had him number one on your draft board. So this makes you look bad for your scouting evaluation. Crying all weekend. Like, really, are we crying for Shedeur Sanders? And I like the kid. And if he's successful, great for him. But this pity party stuff from guys I know that get it out the mud, that they try to make it into the NFL and have to do it the hard way, Shedeur's cool. Like Shedeur's fine. It got made $4 or $5 million a year in Colorado. You feel me?
Right, yeah.
And the NIL deal. Like he probably made more money already than he's going to get as a fifth-round draft pick.
So why do you think he fell the way that he did?
Because he isn't humble. There's no humility there. And when you get in this league and you play that position and you walk into meeting rooms with coaches and you have this persona like you got it all figured out and you're the savior, they don't necessarily want to touch that. And he's not the first. He's not the first, and he won't be the last. That's why we have these job interviews. Right? I thought I was a bad you-know-what, too. But you don't go into a meeting room saying, I am that, and you better draft me, or you're going to be sorry you don't draft me. Bro, you went 13-12 at Colorado. You didn't beat a real opponent in your time at college. You played at Jackson State and Colorado. You didn't play in the SEC. You didn't play in the Big Ten. You didn't dominate college football. Humble yourself a little bit.
It probably didn't help having Deion say that.
No,
there were teams
and I
that
love Deion. Yeah. Deion didn't help the situation. Pull it back, Coach Prime. Pull it back. Like you did a little bit too much. You're not playing. He's not you. He can't be you. You were Deion. He's not Deion. Come in with a little more humility and work for your status. Having a camera crew follow you around, all that type of stuff. A team, think about this, Spike. a team has to think about, do I want that? If I'm the Eagles, do I want Deion? Do I want Shedeur Sanders showing up with his brothers, with a camera crew? My own damn starting quarterback doesn't do this, but the backup quarterback is doing this?
Deion may be talking about you at a Saturday press conference,
man,
after a Colorado game.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, they don't know what they're doing in Cleveland. My boy ain't playing.
Right.
Like, you don't want to deal with all that. Now, if you were great as a player, then you'd be worth it. That's the other thing, because we've seen bad character get drafted early.
Hmm?
But they were worth it from a talent standpoint. Shedeur, humble yourself, little bro. Come in and work. Stop all the circus and pomp and stances around you. Put your head down and grind it out like most NFL players do. This is a business league. These are grown men that take care of their families. Come in and humble yourself. This ain't the Deion Sanders show. That's all I'm telling you, Shedeur. Like, that's what you, or you'll be doing YouTube shows out of the league.
Right.
Like, that's what you'll be doing eventually. You'll be out of the league doing your YouTube shows.
Well, the league certainly said that. Like it's up to him now to decide whether the message is received or not.
And I like him.
Yeah.
But you got to stop with all that nonsense, bro. Like actually do something first, and then all the other stuff can come behind it.
215-592-9494, talking about the Eagles draft. What is your big takeaway? And then talking about Shedeur Sanders as well. Anthony in Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Ant?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, so the Eagles drafting Shedeur didn't make any sense to me. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because, I mean, you think the Eagles draft him. Jalen Hurts get hurt. Well, he has a couple of bad games. Who's everybody going to want? Shedeur Sanders. All the fans are going to be screaming, we want Shedeur. And it's going to start a whole big controversy there. Now, I've read something the other day. It said Shedeur is actually, he's actually getting the better part of all of this. Because at the end of the day, he don't got nothing to prove anymore. All the quarterbacks that were drafted before him have everything to prove. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think Shedeur has a lot to prove right now. I don't agree with that at all. Yeah.
I mean, if all these quarterbacks were drafted before him,
right?
They have everything to prove. They have to prove why they got drafted before Shedeur Sanders.
Well, he has to prove you. Wouldn't you agree, Anthony? He has to prove that everyone made a mistake by not drafting him. So he wants to prove that he was more than a fifth round draft pick. He wants to prove that he was worthy of being drafted number one overall.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that. But at the end of the day, he has at least a year to sit behind, you know, to have the second row, the third row.
Yep.
Every other quarterback, they might jump in straight to a starting role, and they have more to prove right now.
Yeah.
So I think Shedeur got it. I think he got it good right now. Actually, sit back, learn what it takes to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You know, and sit back and learn from somebody. These other quarterbacks got to start right away.
Anthony,
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Anthony, give your favorite stand-up comedian of all time, Jay Leno's birthday. What do you got?
Oh man, I gotta go, Bernie Mac.
Yeah, but there you go. That's two for Bernie Mac.
What, we're letting somebody take somebody that's already taken? I mean, you already took Bernie Mac. You got to take number
two. That's
right,
two. I said Bernie Mac, Anthony.
Well, yeah. It can't just be everybody voting for Bernie Mac.
It's overwhelming.
All right. Somebody's off the board. They're off the board.
I loved him, Mr. 3000.
Oh, that was one of his worst movies.
You don't remember it?
I do. I saw it. Great flick. I think I got it on DVD.
It was a tough watch.
It was.
I watched almost every baseball movie besides The Natural.
I don't think I've seen this. What is the movie?
Oh, it's called Mr. 3000. Mr. 3000?
No,
he
I've
retired with like, I think, 29-96.
It was the Brewers, right?
Well, he had over 3,000 hits, and then they went back, recounted it, and he needed like four
more
hits.
So it went to like 296.
Yeah.
Oh, so he had to go back in the league as an older guy and get the four hits.
Yeah, to get back to 3,000
with the Brewers, yeah.
Yeah, and he was old. Like, he was older. Yeah, he was retired and everything.
I like the premise, though.
Yeah, well, it didn't hit.
Yeah.
Well, because what's the Tom Selleck movie? Kind of a similar vibe to it.
That's Angels in the Outfield, right?
No. That's with Donald Glover and...
That's Danny Glover.
Whatever.
Danny Glover's a lot older than Donald Glover.
Well, I think Donald Glover's his son.
Two totally different people, too, by the way.
Yeah. Is Donald Glover his son?
It's a tap dancer.
Donald Glover?
Isn't Donald Glover, doesn't he rap too?
Yeah, he's in Atlanta.
He's a rapper?
Yeah, yeah, Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
Maybe he has multiple things he does.
No,
I thought he was like a dancer.
He's like a stand-up comedian. He's an actor. And he's a comedian.
Donald Glover is not a damn comedian.
He has a special on Netflix. Now, I don't know if it's any funny.
Are we talking about the same Donald Glover?
No idea. We could be talking about two different
Donalds. He's definitely Childish Gambino. He's definitely a rapper.
Childish Gambino.
Okay. Donald Glover?
Yes.
We are nailing today's show.
Look. Yeah, yeah. This is what's going in the Hall of Fame.
Top tier.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but no.
Let me make sure I'm talking about the same person.
Wait, is it Mr. Baseball? Is that the Tom Selleck movie?
Might have been.
Mr. Baseball, that's it.
So Danny Glover's Lethal Weapon.
Yes, I know
that Angels in the Outfield.
And Angels
with
in the
guy from the Back in the Future where Elliot incest movie.
Michael J. Fox?
No, the guy, crazy guy.
Oh, Crispin Glover.
Yeah, yeah.
Glover?
No, I don't think so.
It's Crispin something. All right, 215-592-9494. Marcus,
I'm thinking, was it Savion Glover I'm thinking of?
A lot of Glover talk.
Marcus in North Philly, you're on WIP.
Are you thinking of Savion Glover?
That's who it is. That's why I said him. I'm thinking of Savion Glover.
Can I get my comedian out of the way? It's Eddie Murphy, the greatest of all time.
Classic.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
It definitely has an argument for greatest of all time. And Delirious and Raw, I think, is the greatest stand-up movie of all time.
I think Raw is the greatest also. Delirious was a 7. Raw was a 10+.
Yeah, yeah, and Raw was like a sensation. I mean, people were going to see Raw in the theaters. I mean, Raw was...
Yeah, it was the first of its kind.
Yeah.
It was the first of its kind. Now, I hear everything you're saying about Shador and how he needs to humble himself.
Yeah.
Spike, I don't agree with you when you say that this should be good for him, because what happened to him and the way it happened shouldn't happen to no player coming from college into the NFL. As far as he was not the, what, 7th best quarterback in the NFL draft.
No worse than third.
Okay, but you're saying shouldn't. What does shouldn't mean? So let's.
I think what happened is they got together, colluded. They don't like to use that word, but colluded to keep him.
No.
Like, you know what? We're going to humble him. We're going to do what Ike said needs to happen to him.
Yeah.
We're going to humble him. We're going to keep. Then they gave. All right, Cleveland. You know what? What the hell is Cleveland? Excuse my language. What is Cleveland picking a second quarterback for in the draft? You know what, Cleveland? You can pick him.
Hold on, Marcus.
He's probably going to beat out Dillon Gabriel.
Marcus. You're saying they colluded. So you're saying every football team got together to teach Shador Sanders a lesson. Meanwhile, over the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, they have taken player after player after player with records and character issues. And like, why? Why would they do that? If a team thought that Shador Sanders would be more of a plus than a minus, they would just take them. This league is not, it's not baseball. I mean, like, I don't know.
They've taken guys with character issues.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah.
The Eagles have.
Listen, character issues is different than him, I just said. Character issues is different than him coming and thinking he's bigger than the game.
Right.
But that's character.
Character issues is, so no, but those are two different things. You're talking about Jalen Carter, who was in a
like, off-the-field stuff, off-the-field stuff.
Who did that?
Yeah,
that's completely different things, right? So what I'm saying is that he's the first that really came in doing that, and got the dad who has
right.
the platform, who told the media, I don't need you to like me. He has that same bravado, and I understand he's not Deion.
And he also said, hold on, his dad also said there were certain teams he wasn't going to let him to play for, and they shouldn't draft him.
Arch Manning.
What? Yeah, what Arch? Hold on. So where's Arch Manning?
Eli Manning. You mean Eli Manning, right?
No. Arch Manning told them that Eli's not playing for this team.
Oh, you mean
Archie Manning.
Archie Manning, yes.
Not Arch. Archie Manning.
Archie Manning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So did he, Spike. So.
Yeah, and Eli Manning was a much better prospect than Shador was, which just shows that, I guess Shador is a bad combination of good, but not great.
Not a dominant
and
player.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
And what I would say, what I would go back to, and I know he was a first round pick, but after he was a first round pick, take Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was certainly capable of being a backup quarterback in the NFL for years. He wasn't a starter, but could he have been on a roster? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But team after team after team after team decided not to put him on the roster because he wasn't worth the circus. And I think what happens is you get to a level where if you are, the other thing that I brought up was the circus.
Yeah.
Man, you got to be worth the circus.
Yep.
And Shador was a bad combination of good but not worth the circus. And I think that's why he dropped. I don't think there was collusion. I truly think, and they said this over and over the weekend, when you start getting second through fourth round and you're talking about quarterbacks, you're looking for a backup. And nobody wants Shador as a backup because it's too much trouble for a backup.
And appreciate the call, Marcus. No, you're right. What teams are having had to decide, and this is actually why I'm surprised. The Eagles must have viewed this, if I were to believe, and I do believe it, so I don't have to constantly preface this by saying it, but if I were to believe that they were interested in him and Cleveland jumped in front of them, I'm surprised that they thought it was worth the headache. But they obviously did at least consider it.
They
considered it.
I go back and forth on whether I'd be surprised that the Eagles did it and not surprised that the Eagles did it.
It would not have been surprising if they did it. They're a value organization.
Especially the value thing.
The value thing, yes. But I do understand the hassle part of it. So I would.
Yeah, but they're one team that I think we could trust them to be able to handle it.
Cleveland, well, and that's the thing. That's what they would say. They would say, we have the culture that could handle this.
Sure.
And Deion would get, I think Deion would at least understand it. I mean,
I agree. I think this is an organization Deion would back off and respect.
Well,
the fact they just won a championship, what they've done with Jalen here.
And it would
I don't
be
think
hard.
He would make a big deal here.
It would also be hard for Deion to say, my boy should be starting in Philadelphia.
I agree. And that's why they probably thought
we can handle it.
It could be handled here.
Man, we were so close.
I was right there.
So close.
Why did the Cowboys
even though I'm like, yeah, you guys maybe can handle it in Novacare, but me here,
I gotta take the calls.
Yeah, me here at the radio station, yeah, I can't handle it.
We can handle it, Ike. We can handle it.
Stay strong.
Stay strong. No, take the call.
Actually, the third string.
215-592-9494.
Plus, I've already etched myself as a Tanner McKee guy.
Yes. Well, now you got to become a college. Is that why you're not knowing McCord's name? Because you're a Tanner McKee guy?
We get it. There goes Ike, dividing and conquering.
We will battle McCord and McKee all through training camp.
Oh, I'm waiting for it. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up next, our embedded reporter in D.C.
He just tweeted out a video of himself in front of the White House.
Oh, Elliot Short Forks live from D.C.
He got clearance.
Interesting he made the trip.
It is. Wow. You think Elliot's going to get himself on any signal chats while he's out there?
Interesting he made it.
Yeah, all right. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Friends.